We're going to read this passage responsively. Luke 23, verses 44 through 54. Bible says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts in return. And all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged of the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man was laid before laid." "Wherein never man before was laid." Verse 54, let's finish on that together. Ready? "And that day was the preparation, and Sabbath drew on." Now, let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. Thank you for being our God. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do, and would you please meet the needs of all these people. Lord, we enter a time of year where the world looks at things much differently than you do. May we see it your way clearly today, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Today, I will need your attention. Usually on Sunday mornings, I preach maybe a little different style of message than I will preach today. I will still preach. It'll be a little bit more of a Wednesday night Bible study. Don't worry. Tonight, come back, I'll clean your plow, amen. But I feel like, and I believe that there are so many things that we accept just because everybody does it, that are not even right, not even scriptural. I have two titles for the sermon this morning. I'm not sure which one we'll use. I'll give you both. One is called "The Easter Bunny's Not the Only Hoax of Easter." Folks, rabbits don't lay eggs, just so you know. You okay back there, Donnie? You just woke him up, amen? The other title would be this, "The Heresy of Good Friday." You're starting to see signs all over our area at churches. Easter morning services, Good Friday services. And I want to use the Bible and show you the truth about Easter and in the events about that. Folks, we ought to take the Bible in what it says over what man's tradition and what denominationalism and what the world says happens. Now, if you'll, by the way, we've accepted bad doctrine. We have accepted bad doctrine. I've watched about four people today when I said the heresy of Good Friday go, okay? Hang in there. Lightning won't strike on me, amen? And I'm not worried about it. We have been influenced by the Catholics, the Calvinists, and the Protestants way too long. Baptists are not Protestants. Say, what are the Protestants? They came along 1,500 years after the Baptists started. Protestants started from the Catholic Church. Martin Luther led a Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. They were protesting the Catholic Church. That's why they were called Protestants. That's where your Methodists, your Lutherans, that's where your Episcopalians, that's where your Nazarenes, that's where all of those religions came from. Those are your Protestants. By the way, if you go to the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the mother of harlots. That's the Catholic Church. Guess who all her harlots are? They're all the baby churches that came out of the Catholic Church that will go back to Mama. Have you noticed how much those churches now look like the Catholic Church? Say, what do you mean? Well, the Catholics go all the way back to Jesus. No, they don't. Catholic Church didn't start till 330 A.D. Over 300 years after the Baptist churches. Now, just so you know, Jesus was baptized by a man named John the Baptist. That was not his last name. It's funny. My mom and dad, wherever they are, there they are. They know this is true. My wife and children have seen this. In my hometown, there's a Catholic church not far from the hospital I was born in. It's called St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I am not kidding, am I? St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. I'm thinking, how much more heresy can we suck down? Now, if you'll listen to me, I will help you. The Catholics, the Protestants, and the Calvinists started the idea that Jesus was crucified on a Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning. Now, just so you know, it's impossible to have 3 days and three nights from Friday evening until Sunday morning. It is physically impossible. There is no such thing as Good Friday. Every Friday's good. Amen? Now, I realize we're in the Lenten season. I realize that Ash Wednesday has passed. See, I grew up around a lot of Catholics. I grew up where they didn't serve any meat on Friday but fish. And I'll show you where that came from, just so you know. It's amazing to me. It is just, Brother Smith and I were talking just in my office a little while ago. He said, you know, there's one thing I miss about the Pittsburgh area and all the Catholics. He said, they did have great fish fries on Friday at all the firehouses. That's because they were beer batter fish, Brother Smith. Now, listen to me very carefully. I am going to make a statement, and then I will come back to this and show you all of this in Scripture. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, not on a Friday. He was crucified. He died about 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. According to Scripture, that is the ninth hour of the day. Okay? That means by 6 o'clock, they had him put into the tomb. Took him about 3 hours to claim the body, get the body down, get it prepared, and get it in the tomb. And by 6 o'clock that evening, he was placed in the tomb. Now, he was in the grave all night Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all night Thursday night, all day Friday, all night Friday night, all day Saturday, and rose sometime between Saturday evening and Sunday morning. They found the empty tomb on Sunday morning. Do you realize that Jesus had already resurrected before Mary saw the empty tomb? It doesn't say when she went that it was the resurrection. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. By the way, he resurrected on Sunday morning. Now, we're going to take the Bible. It's a little bit complex. I need your minds. You're going to use your Bibles a little bit. You say, why? Because I don't want you to take what I say. I want you to take what God says. And by the way, these are his words, not man's words. It's not what Matthew says. It's not what John says. It's not what Paul says. It's not what David says. It's what God says. These words were written before man was created. This was the plan of God. Now, look at me if you will. Let me explain a few things. The Hebrew calendar and the Hebrew day works differently than we do today. We, as a society, accept a day as morning and evening. But from Genesis chapter 1, if you went to Genesis chapter 1, don't go there right now, the Bible says that God separated the light and called it day, and the darkness and called it night. Watch this. And he said the evening and the morning were of the first day. God's calendar starts in the evening and goes to the next evening. And it goes evening, morning, evening, morning. Now, when we say day, there are roughly, and I realize it changes day by day, but if you take God's calendar, there are roughly 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Okay? Generally, that is a true statement. By the way, the closer you get to the equator, the more that is true. If you take where Israel is in latitude, you realize it's just about where central to southern Florida is. The farther you go south, the less time daylight changes from season to season. That's why up in Alaska, they have 3 months of the year where it's dark 24 hours a day. And in the summertime, it's light virtually 24 hours a day. Because the sun changes position in the orbit around the sun and et cetera, et cetera. And the daylight swings so much. But if you're at the equator, it's virtually the same every day. Now, there are 12 hours of daylight. There are 12 hours of darkness. Now, turn to John chapter 11. And I want to show you something here. Just a few pages over. John chapter 11. And we're going to look at two verses here. John chapter 11, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Look at me. Just so you know, Jesus himself said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" The what?
Day.
He was talking about, he uses the word light. So when we talk about day, we talk about light, we're talking about daytime hours. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days, that's 3 light sessions, and 3 nights, that's 3 dark sessions. If day is 12 hours, then night has to be how many hours? All right, so 3 days and 3 nights would equal how many hours? 72 hours. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, don't turn there, that Jesus was in the heart of the earth, listen to this, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah had been in the belly of the whale 3 days, 12 hours each, 3 nights, 12 hours each. 36 plus 36 equals 72. Very good. So according to the Bible then, Jesus was in the grave 72 hours. Can you get 72 hours from Friday evening, 6 o'clock, to 6 o'clock Sunday morning? Impossible. Impossible. Now, let's take the Good Friday philosophy. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. We'll even give him the extra 3 hours before he was put in the grave. From 3 o'clock to midnight is how many hours? How many hours? 9. There you go. Okay. Folks, stay with me. You got me worried here. From 3 o'clock to midnight is how many hours?
9.
There you go. So from midnight Friday to midnight Saturday would be how many? 24. 24 plus 9 is 33. All right. Then let's say he resurrected at 6 o'clock Sunday morning. You add 6 more hours. That gives you 39 hours. Brother Smith thinks he could have done that without my help. According to what the Catholics, the Good Friday, what I call the Good Friday philosophy, at most, 39 hours. That doesn't add up. It does not add up. Jesus could not have been crucified on Friday, resurrected on Sunday, and the Word of God be credible. By the way, I'm not mad at you because some of you, this is the first time you've ever heard this. But people that teach Good Friday are not credible either. Now, I don't care if it's a priest. I don't care if it's a pope. I don't care if it's a denomination. I don't care if it's a tradition. And I don't care if it's a Baptist preacher. It is impossible to have Good Friday being the day Jesus was crucified and him resurrect on Sunday morning and it be accurate scripturally. And I hate to even say this way because it's going to come across with a bad spirit, but I've worked 46 years to get a bad spirit. I guess I can say it. Even the stupid Catholic Bible that is wrong says 3 days and three nights. They can't even follow their own corrupt Bible. Now, everybody doing all right? Here we go. You say, well, the Bible talks about it being a Sabbath issue. The Bible says that they needed to get the body down in preparation for the Sabbath. Turn to Mark chapter 15. We are going to look at this. Mark chapter 15. And again, could I just read these to you? Yes, but I want you to see it in the Bible for your sake, not for mine. Mark chapter 15, look at verse number 42. And now when even was come, that's evening, because it was the preparation that is the day before the what? Sabbath. Huh. Now, in the Jewish calendar, what day is the Sabbath day? Saturday. The Sabbath would have begun on Friday evening and gone till 6 o'clock Saturday evening. That is the weekly Sabbath. Okay? That is where they start. By the way, and look at me when I say this. You'll see this in Scripture in just a little while. About an hour and a half. No. But listen to me. That's why we don't hold to the Levitical priesthood. That's why the priesthood to this day is wrong if it's following the Levitical priesthood. Now, let me show you what I mean. We saw Luke 23, you don't need to turn back there, verses 52 and 54. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, I want you to notice something. Neither of those has a capital S. It's a small S. Now, listen very carefully. There are no contradictions in Scripture. If there is a contradiction in that book, God is a liar, God is a sinner, and we're all going to hell. The Bible does not contradict itself. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to show you something. You say, well, that's Old Testament. It's all the Bible. Amen. There is no different. Well, Old Testament's law, New Testament's grace. You're accepting Catholic Calvinistic philosophies again. By faith, Noah. By faith, Adam. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. We all got saved the same way. One looked ahead to Calvary. One looks back at Calvary. The Bible is just as important in Genesis as it is in Revelation. It's all the Word of God. Now, Leviticus chapter 23, look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath. Uh-oh. Stop. Look at me for a moment. Seventh month in the first day of the seventh month. Now, let's use our month of July, though it's not exactly the same. Does July 1st always happen on the same day of the week? neither would it in Bible days. I want you to notice, is that S capitalized? Huh. It's talking about a certain Sabbath. It talks about a memorial blowing of the trumpets for a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, look down at verse 32. It shall be unto you, verse 32, and it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Does the ninth day of that month ever occur on the same day of the week? So it can't be talking about Saturday only. We won't take time to look at it, but I want to look back at me, if you will. There are seven Sabbaths mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. God gave the Jews seven annual Sabbaths to follow. Let me mention them to you. It was the Passover. That was the first day, or the first month, 14th day. It would coincide with our April 14th, okay? Does April 14th always fall on the same day of the week? No. Every 6 years it does. But not every year. Then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the 15th day of the first month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the day after Passover. Every year. Okay? Then you have the Sabbath of First Fruits. That's the 17th day of the first month. Then you have Pentecost. That's 50 days after the Sabbath of first fruits. That's why it's called Pentecost. It was 50 days after the feast of first fruits. By the way, that's why in the book of Acts it talks about Pentecost. That happened on another holy Sabbath day. Okay? Then you have the Feast of the Trumpets, which is in the seventh month. You have the Sabbath of Atonement, which is in the seventh month. And you have the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month. Now, not one of these is determined by the day of the week. It's determined by the number day of the month. Everybody doing okay? And the Bible calls all of these Sabbaths. Now, look at me if you will. God also had the Jew have what we call the weekly Sabbath. That is Friday evening to Saturday evening. Because the Hebrew calendar goes, told you too much coffee, evening and morning. So it goes evening and day. Everybody doing okay? Because Sunday to the Hebrew would start at 6 o'clock Saturday evening. Now, listen to me very carefully. Turn to John chapter 19. These seven special Sabbaths, these, we would use the word holy days. These special Sabbaths, not the weekly Sabbath, but these annual or regular Sabbaths, they took place. There's another term used for them in Scripture. Look at John chapter 19. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Look at me for a second. Look right here. This is in reference to the crucifixion. All the verses before this is about Jesus and the two thieves being crucified. And they said we had to get these bodies down because of the Sabbath. Now, let's read it again. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Look at me. These high days were not the weekly Sabbaths. These were these special Sabbaths. The regular weekly Sabbath was not called a high day or a holy day. Everybody doing okay? I want you to notice, God does not contradict himself. So it is talking about here that there was a Sabbath coming that they needed to get ready for, and it was a high day. Let me ask you a question. What was the Passover instituted for? The Passover is started in Egypt. When Moses was about to deliver the Jews out of bondage from Pharaoh. And God had the Jews prepare a lamb, hold it, make sure it was perfect, without blemish. Then they had to sacrifice that lamb. They had to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the door. And that night, if the blood was applied, the death angel came through. And as long as the blood was applied, everybody inside was okay. If the blood was not applied, not just the humans, but the firstborn of all their livestock was killed that night. Say, what was that? That was a picture of Jesus Christ dying at Calvary for their sin. It was exactly what Jesus was about to fulfill. Can I tell you something? Jesus was crucified right before the Sabbath of the Passover. He was literally crucified on April 14th. Say, why? Because that's Passover. It begins. He had to be down before Passover began at 6 o'clock. Guess what? Passover was an high Sabbath day. Yes. There was also another Sabbath day right after that, and that was the Sabbath of the unleavened bread. Guess what? He resurrected on what we call the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. He came up out of that grave sometime after 6 o'clock Friday evening, which would have been Sunday according to the Hebrew calendar. Everybody doing okay? All right, watch this. We're going somewhere. Now, does a Sabbath then have to be a Friday only? No, it does not. No, it does not. Now, I want you to stay with me here. What Sabbath was before the crucifixion? Look, same chapter, John chapter 19. Look at verse number 14. And it was the preparation of the what? Passover. About the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Look at me. Even the Bible tells us that it was the Passover Sabbath coming. They were getting ready for Passover. Does it not make sense that our Savior was crucified at Passover? He was our lamb. He had been put up. He was perfect. He was without blemish. He had no sin. He had no spot. He had no wrinkle. He was about to shed his blood for our sin. And he was going to be the fulfillment of all Passovers. Now, watch this, if you will. Was the Passover a weekly Sabbath? No, it was not. It was an annual Sabbath. If it was not the weekly Sabbath, did it have to take place then on a Friday? No, it did not. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Like I said, I know this is a little different than a normal Sunday morning message. But we have been taught such bad doctrine throughout history that somebody's got to set the record straight. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Look at me. What is the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday. Huh. Says, as it began to dawn the first day of the week. But when did the day, Sunday, begin? Saturday night. So sometime between Saturday night and early Sunday morning, what we would call Sunday morning, and God called Sunday morning because the evening and the morning were the first day. Jesus resurrected. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Now look at me for a second here. I'm about to shout. Can I tell you something? let's quit taking church tradition. Let's take God at face value. Why is it that we believe everything the world says? Say, somebody asked me this week. Honestly, I don't know who it was. It may or may not have been somebody in this room. I've been asked about a half a dozen times in the last 2 weeks, so don't get upset if it was you. Brother Bush, what about this new film about Noah? Would you go see it? Number one, I'm not going to any stupid movie house. Number two, anything Hollywood puts out about the Bible, I can promise you it's wrong.
Amen.
Charlton Heston and Moses was wrong. Say why? They don't want to portray the truth. They want to entertain you to draw you into their philosophies. We won't go there. That's another sermon. Now, what Sabbath followed Calvary? Passover, 14th day, first month, April 14th. Then you had the Sabbath of unleavened bread. That was the 15th. Then you had the weekly Sabbath, which was Saturday. That gives you 3 days, three nights, crucified on a Wednesday, resurrected on Sunday. Okay, everybody doing all right? Because now I get to preach. Now, do you realize that all 3 days and three nights that Jesus was in the grave were during Sabbaths? That's why nobody went and visited the grave till Sunday morning. Because the Jews were not to do work or to travel any distance farther than basically around their house during Sabbaths. That's why they waited 3 days and three nights to go back to the grave. By the way, that's why they were trying to say, well, somebody stole him. They broke the Sabbath and stole him out of the grave. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Then what happened to these Sabbaths? I'm glad you asked. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Now I get to preach for a few minutes. Glory. Now, Galatians. I'm in Galatians. We're supposed to be in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Ooh. Ordinances. Those are laws, rituals. Keep going. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Watch this. Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Wow. What happened to these holy days? These Sabbaths, they were nailed to the cross with Jesus. And he triumphed over them. I did not do this. I did it because, number one, I didn't want to try to write it out. I'm going to need your help in a second here. Did you ever wonder why Easter changes? I guess I've been a Baptist too long, just accepted whatever they said Easter was. Mrs. Barnes, what is the formula?
It's the first Sunday.
The first full moon after the first day of spring. Okay, first Sunday after the first full moon after the first day of spring. Now, you laugh at that. Let's read verse 16 together. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon. Do you ever wonder why Easter's date changes? because we base it on the full moon or the new moon after the first Sunday of the first day of spring. Can I tell you something? Easter's overrated. Now, thank God for the resurrection. But every day is resurrection day for the Christian. Jesus fulfilled all of these things. He fulfilled the holy days. He fulfilled the Passover. He became the meat offering. By the way, it talks about a trumpet offering. Guess what? When he comes back, those trumpets are going to sound. Amen. He fulfilled all those holy days, all the ordinances, all the handwriting, all of the new moons. Why don't they eat meat until Friday? Notice what it says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath days. Folks, it's about time Baptists quit playing Catholic. About time we quit playing denominationalism. They were nailed to his cross. Not only that, watch this. The Bible says in verse number 15 that he triumphed over them. Can I tell you how Jesus triumphed over them? Because after those 3 days and three nights, Brother Smith, he got up out of that grave and conquered them. Well, why don't the Jews still sacrifice? Because Jesus fulfilled all of those sacrifices. The Old Testament practice of sacrifices was replaced. Can I tell you when it was replaced? The night before Jesus was crucified. Say, what was that? We call it the Lord's Supper. They broke bread and drank juice. Not wine, but juice. Unleavened bread and unfermented juice. One represented the broken body. The other represented the shed blood. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. The New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament sacrifices is the Lord's Supper. It is the same thing. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Say, wow, it was so bloody. If I told you that somebody was going to come, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and die for you, don't you think it would take a little bit more to accept than recorded history? All of that was looking ahead to Calvary. It had to be a little bloodier. By the way, God himself instituted it after Adam and Eve sinned. He killed animals and gave them coats of skin.
Yes.
Shed blood.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me very carefully. Jesus triumphed over these holy days. Watch this. As our high priest. He got up out of the grave. He died as the lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest. He went down as the lamb and was slaughtered, but he resurrected the high priest. By the way, when he died, what happened in the temple? The Bible says that the veil of the temple, that doesn't make sense to most of you, but let me show you something. In the temple, you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest once a year could go into that Holy of Holies. When Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, ripped in half. That way all men had access to the Holy of Holies. He may have died as your lamb, but he resurrected as your high priest. Now watch this. That is why, and by the way, that is why we have church on Sunday. It's called the Lord's Day. By the way, our Seventh-day Adventist friends are wrong. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. And Saturday is no longer to be held because Jesus already took care of it. It was nailed to the cross. He triumphed over it. He was the high priest that paid the price. And guess what? There is no need for the Sabbath. There's no need for Pentecost. There's no need for the Passover. There's no need for the trumpets. There's no need for any of those because Jesus fulfilled every last one of those. Say, is it wrong to do work on Sunday? No. But I do believe God teaches man to rest one day a week. I do believe that. Now, wait a minute. There's some things I don't do just so I'm not associated with the world. I don't mow my grass on Sunday. There's things around my house I generally don't do just because I don't want it to become just another day. Number one. Number two, I'm too busy to do it on Sunday anyway. If it's wrong to work on Sunday, every Baptist preacher's in trouble. Well, probably not true for most Baptist preachers, but the right kind would be in trouble. Now, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. It's not a day to where if you talk, you must whisper. Good night. Jesus took care of that, man. It was all nailed to the cross, and he conquered it and triumphed over it as our high priest. Now, one last thing. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. If you haven't shouted yet, you're about to. You will either shout amen or oh me. Again, these are not my words. These are God's words. I want everybody to look at me for a moment. We are so afraid of the Catholics. Folks, did you ever notice Catholics do not include themselves in Christianity? Oh, I'm a Catholic. Are you Christian? No, I'm Catholic. Brother Taylor, let me borrow. He's got a remake of a 1897 Sears and Roebuck catalog. Say, why is it a remake? None of them ever lasted that long. They got used in another little room, amen? But he let me look at that thing. It's interesting. Back in 1897, Sears sold Bibles. You know, they only sold two kinds of Bibles. King James and Catholic. That's it. That's it. Now, everybody doing all right? Here we go. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Verse number 11. Did I tell you Hebrews 11 before? Sorry. Hebrews 7, verse number 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident, watch this, that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Look at me if you will. The Bible said if the Levitical priesthood were good for all, why is it Jesus came from the tribe of Judah? Why is it that our Savior as our high priest came out of the tribe of Judah and not the tribe of Levi? The Levites were the priestly tribe. Because God knew in man's wicked, evil mind that man would try to be God. And he would try to set himself up as God, like a pope. And man would try to follow all the practices of the Old Testament Levitical priesthood that were pointing to Jesus. But guess what? Jesus fulfilled all those. Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. watch this. We're not done yet. Skip down to verse 22. Here's where we're going to shout. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this did he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Folks, Jesus came one time. He was born one time. He died one time. He resurrected one time, because he was of the tribe of Judah, not the tribe of Levi. He was not man made with hands. He was God in the flesh. He was the fulfillment as our Lamb of God, but resurrected as our high priest. And we don't need another. The Catholics would call it the lineage of the papacy goes all the way back to the Apostle Peter. It's still not the Savior. It's still not the Savior. It's funny to me. Priests take a vow of celibacy. Peter had a mother-in-law. If Peter had a mother-in-law, wasn't married, he was stupid. Folks, they don't even take their papacy back to Jesus. They only take it to Peter.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Number one. Number two, the Catholic Church didn't start till 330 AD with under Constantine.
Yes, sir.
They think every person that they appoint as pope becomes part of that royal lineage all the way back to Peter. And that pope can speak ex cathedra. In other words, he speaks in the place of God. Why does he wear all of the phylacteries and the robes? Why does he have all of the ritualism of the Levitical priesthood? Can I tell you something? Because he doesn't believe in the high priest that resurrected from the grave named Jesus Christ. Why do they say you must pray through Mary if you want to get closer to God? Because that was the mother of Jesus, and she can tug on his heartstrings more than you can. No, I hate to tell you, but the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, and I have direct access to him. Mary was a sinner and died. Every pope is a sinner and will die, just like every Baptist preacher is a sinner and will die. We don't need a priest that will die. By the way, he did die, but he conquered it and got up out of the grave. No pope in the world ever did that. Not a one. Folks, all of these holy days are false. You don't have to go down and get ashes smeared on your head. You don't have to give something up for 40 days and then go back out and live like a heathen. You can eat any meat you want on Friday. It's not a matter of which day is Easter based on the first full moon after the first day of spring after whatever. Say why? Jesus nailed all that to the cross. And he fulfilled it at resurrection. That is why he is our eternal high priest, settled in the heavens. Can I tell you something? Anything else is man trying to work his way to heaven. Anything else. Oh, you'll see signs everywhere. Sunrise service. Jesus resurrected on Sunday morning. No, they found the empty grave on Sunday morning. It does not say that he resurrected Sunday morning. It says he came up out of the grave on the Lord's day. Sometime between Saturday evening and Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose. But may I say this with all of the sincerity I have, every Sunday's resurrection day. Every Sunday is a day we're supposed to see him as our high priest and our Savior. He fulfills all of it in one. I grew up in Catholic territory. If your name didn't end with a ski or an E at the end, you were outnumbered where I grew up. I'm not kidding. Man, there was, I don't mean this offensively, but there's more Dagos there than there was anybody else. I mean, it was Italian country where I'm from. Now, may I say this? There's Catholics all over this world will go through every ritual they know to go through to try to merit heaven. They're trying to go through all of these phases of things so that hopefully their good will outweigh the bad. Can I tell you something? No matter how much good they do, it will not outweigh their sin. And you needed one who could pay for it for you. That's why Jesus Christ came as your Lamb of God. But had he stayed in the grave, it was not complete. Let's go back to Passover and I'm done. If the Jews would have done exactly what God said, they found that lamb, put it up for 3 days, 3 nights, looked at it, made sure it was perfect. They sacrificed it, slit its throat, shed the blood, put it in the bowl, but they never put the blood on the doorpost and lintels. The firstborn would have died. It wasn't the shed blood. It was the applied blood. It wasn't the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. Here goes a lot of theology that saved you. When Mary went to the grave to see him on Sunday morning, watch this. Brother Smith, you're going to try to play Jesus. Man, looks more like the devil to me. But when Mary saw him, she didn't recognize him and she said, "The grave is empty. I suppose somebody took his body while we were celebrating the Sabbaths." Watch this. She said, "Are you the gardener?" And when he spoke, she said, "Rabboni." That means master. And she reached out to hug him, and I'm not going to hug you.
I know you're not.
And he said this, "Don't touch me." He said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father." Have a seat, Brother Smith. Say, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because in the Old Testament, when the high priest would wash himself at the laver before the Passover sacrifice, he would go to the laver in the outer courtyard, wash himself top to bottom from head to toe, clean himself up. He would then take that lamb that had been put up. He would cut its throat, catch the blood in a bowl. They would burn the lamb, consume the lamb. He would take that bowl in a hyssop weed. He would walk through the rest of the courtyard into the holy place. Table of showbread on the right, the candlesticks on the left, the altar of incense before him with the veil. He would go under that veil one time into the Holy of Holies, a perfectly square cubed room, and in that one piece of furniture. About the size of this table down here, something called the Ark of the Covenant. Inside that Ark of the Covenant was a copy of the law written with the finger of God on the tables of stone that Moses gave. In it was a pot full of the manna left from the 40 years in the wilderness, showing Jesus as the bread of life and provision for man. And also Aaron's rod that had budded in a miracle one day as a picture of the resurrection. Watch this. On top of that was a seat. It had cherubims two cherubims on it. We won't go into that. But that seat is called the mercy seat. One time a year, that high priest would walk in there. He would take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Watch this. The Shekinah glory of God, God's presence itself, would come down in a cloud and sit above that chair and on that chair. And the high priest would then walk back out to the crowd, raise his hands and say, "It is finished." If Jesus' blood trickled at the Calvary's cross and that's it, you and I are going to hell. If that high priest only sacrificed that lamb and never went into that Holy of Holies, it was an incomplete picture of Calvary. Here's the interesting part. From the time that high priest washed at the laver until that blood was applied to the mercy seat, if a human would have touched him from here as he goes by and somebody touched him, if he would have walked into there without washing and starting the process all over again, God would kill the high priest. He was not to be touched by sinful flesh. Rabboni, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. Watch this. What was that? He said, "I'm coming back. Go tell everybody. I'll be here when you get back." Jesus left this earth, went to heaven. He went into the true tabernacle, according to the book of Hebrews, in heaven. I believe the throne room of God. He took his hands in his side. Those were wounds, not scars. He took his own blood and applied it to the mercy seat in heaven. That blood is still there today, Brother Hawkins. That's the very blood we're going to get to see one of these days that washed our sins away. It wasn't the shed blood, it's the applied blood. Can I tell you something? The hoax of Good Friday, the heresy. There's not 72 hours from Friday evening to Sunday morning. Can I tell you why? Man wants tradition. Wants to earn his way to heaven. You can't get there on your own. You can't get there on your own. You had someone who paid the price for you, and all you have to do is receive it by faith. Just by faith. It's not all you can do. It's all he did for you. That's the difference. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Brother Bush, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I realize today may seem controversial. It's not. It's just taking the Word of God and showing you what it says. But who would say, "Brother Bush, maybe I've been trusting tradition, didn't even realize it till today. Maybe I've been trusting myself, but I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand? All right. I wonder, have you given Christ everything? Have you taken time to thank him for what he did for your salvation? Folks, let's not get over it. There's people dying and going to hell all over the place that are religious, but they don't have Christ. It's not worship him any way you want. You have to do it his way.